Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone out here this morning, bright and early Sunday morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We give you all honor and glory. We praise you, God, for your anointing that is here. We thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit fills the room and touches each and every person and touches every desire and need that we have, Lord. We thank you that each one of us is covered in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that the realms and portals of heaven are open wide over each one of us, Lord, that your anointing and glory may flow exactly as you have planned and prepared for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we are going to be learning about the destiny of love. And I would like to say up front, this is not my teaching. This is Pastor Barbara's teaching. And she has diligently studied and put this together. And I'm going to attempt to give it. So the scripture starts out in John chapter 14, verses 21 through 24. And this is explaining the intimate relationship that we should have with Jesus. In John 14, 21, it says, Jesus speaking, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." I feel that Jesus is pretty much telling us in plain English, this is what is required and what it means to love God. Because everybody is going to say, I love Jesus, I love God. But here it explains that if that statement is true, coming from the heart, then we will not only know and understand the parts of the word that we receive, but that we will walk in it. We will express that. We will live what we know. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Matthew 22, 36. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." This is such a huge thing. Because if nothing else, if you only take away one thing from the Bible, I feel it would be this scripture. Love is the ultimate foundation. It is exactly what we need to do. And I'm not sitting up here pretending I have all this together because I don't. But the scripture is true regardless. And this is what we need to understand. On Judgment Day, we're all going to be placed on a scale. And that scale on one side is going to be love. The only thing that's going to balance that scale out is the love of God in us that we have not only loved God with, but that we have loved others with. And that's why the scripture says it doesn't matter if you prophesy to a million people, if you have all this knowledge and revelation and wisdom, and you share this with people, great, but it amounts to nothing if you don't love. So remember the scale in heaven. God's putting his love on one side, and in order to balance that out, we have to live and walk in that love to balance it out. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Now, this is the same scripture we read before, but it's in a different book. The point is, love is more important than ritual. Mark 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, we kind of read that, and it's like, who does burnt offerings and sacrifices nowadays? You know, we don't do that anymore. So it kind of, you know, maybe loses the significance in today's terms. So back then, they had to do burnt offerings and sacrifices because at that time, before Jesus, that was the only way that they could atone for their sins, to be reconciled back to God. The high priest would have to do the sacrifice for everybody. People would come and personally offer sacrifices, you know, for their own sins. So it's like this scripture is saying that walking in God's love, being able to love God in these ways and to love others with that love, is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices, more important than even the ability to reconcile yourself with God through sacrifices. The blood of Jesus is the ultimate way maker. It has made the way. It is all powerful. It is the greatest weapon God has given us. But it's the love that's going to get us through that doorway. God opened the door, but we have to walk through it, through his love. And that's why it is so important. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love of God that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Remember that scale. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. I sometimes wonder, what exactly does that mean, if we haven't been perfected in love? Sometimes when you're afraid of something, it could be because maybe we don't have enough trust in God in that area. Fear is a natural human emotion. We all experience it. There's instinctual fear. You know, you wouldn't run off a cliff. You'd be afraid near the end, and that's a healthy fear because you don't want to die. But then there's fear that comes from a lack of love, a lack of being loved, a lack of trust, a lack of understanding. God wants to fill those voids in us so that we don't have to fear. If every day is written down in heaven, God's plan and purpose for our lives each and every day, then we have to be able to receive God's love to the extent that we can trust him, that no matter what happens in our day, we know he has it under control. We know that even when bad things happen, there's a purpose for that thing in our lives. Sometimes it may not even be about us. You know, it could be for the benefit of other people. And that's why we go through the things that we go through. Now I've completely lost my place. All right, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. We didn't love ourselves first. We're not that great. God loved us first, And we learned how to love because he loved us. Now we can love ourselves and other people. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Too many times, there's quite a few people out there around the world that come out of church Sunday morning, and you go to the convenience store, okay, go to Wawa after church and just watch. And you will see quite a diverse crowd of people that say they love God, but they do not love their brother behind the cash register at Wawa. Okay, just an example. These things happen. That's what this scripture is talking about. We have to take the love that we say we have for God and apply that to everybody that's around us. Because we're supposed to be vessels that show that love and win people to Christ by those actions of love. The greatest destiny of a man is the destiny of a lover. How perfectly true that is. This is a question to ask yourself. When you ask to receive God's heart, do you think he will automatically give it to you? Or that he will offer situations to display it? It's an excellent question. When I read this, I paused there. I had to read it again. I had to take that in. Now, here are 7 points to walking in the love of God. Number one, it's our everyday circumstances that we will receive God's heart. As we display it towards others, he puts in our paths. So we have an opportunity every day, we have many opportunities every day to show the love of God through the circumstances that we are presented with. Number two, every day is an opportunity to walk with the heart of God, which God has given freely to us to give to others. Number three, every day God gives us opportunities for love. Number four, it's not just about giving. It's also about receiving the love God wants to bring into our lives. That is so important. We have to be able to receive the love of God for us individually before we can give that out to others. So important. There's many people that either can't or don't know how to receive God's love. So they're running on empty. My truck does that enough. I don't need that personally in me to be constantly running empty. We need the love of God in ourselves so that we can properly give that out to everyone else. Number five, even when we miss the open doors of opportunity for love, God will always give us many more opportunities to give and receive the love he so desires to give. God is very forgiving and merciful. And if you miss it and you mess up, we all do, he's faithful to provide more opportunities for us to be able to do that. Number six, his love being poured out is his top priority. Love is the foundation. It is number one above anything else. It is so important. Number seven, God's love being poured out through those he loves is our greatest destiny. That's us. God wants to pour out his love on everybody in this room, everybody watching on the internet. God wants to pour his love through us, his top priority. Those who talk the love message will be given many opportunities to walk the love message in our own lives. This is the time that our lives will match our message. This is the time God is going to absolutely ruin us by his love. We're going to get wrecked by God's love. When God gives us opportunities to display his love, we will always see that he is merciful, full of grace, and his long-suffering has no end. Praise God for that. No matter what the circumstances are, his compassion will always be poured out in demonstrations of love. Demonstrations of love. Give a love offering. We hear this term all the time. But the greatest love offering you can give is yourself. And how true that is. And yes, you will be that great love offering. God wants us all to be a great love offering. Just giving of yourself in some way towards someone else, you have no idea how much that could mean to that other person. Just smiling at somebody is enough to uplift their spirits. It's enough to do something for them. The Holy Spirit in us is faithful to give those gentle promptings and nudges when he is leading us to a divine encounter with someone. The last service, God increased the promptings of love that he wanted to pour out of us. You will no longer be able to walk by someone and ignore the promptings of God, because it's just going to pour out of you as you pass by. How many of you have experienced that in the last week? Just this uncontrollable urge, you gravitate over to somebody else and you just start pouring out what God has given you into them, or just giving them a word of knowledge or whatever God has you do for them. That's the anointing, the Spirit of God in you that is doing that. And again, this is Pastor Barber speaking. I always think of the story in Acts chapter 5 of Peter's shadow healing the sick as he passed by. I know without a shadow of a doubt that the presence of love walked with him and healed people as he passed by. The virtue of God's love permeating out of Peter was a demonstration of the power of God's love. Sometimes God will demonstrate his love through you and you don't have to say anything. Just walk by somebody. Just pray in your head as you're walking by, and God will honor that and he will move upon that person or that situation. You just have to be an open vessel that loves God and is willing and obedient. That's it. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The love of God has already been poured out within our hearts because the Holy Spirit himself dwells within. If you have the Holy Spirit, God's love is already inside of you. When Christ died for us, it was the highest demonstration of God's love toward us, so that we could also be the utmost demonstration of love to all men, godly or not. Love comes with no conditions and no guarantee it will be reciprocated. Our idea of earthly, fleshly love wants 50-50. You know, I'll give and then you'll give, and it has to be, you know, weighed in the balance and everyone's checking, you know, I did this for you, now you have to do this for me. God doesn't do that. That is not unconditional love. Love comes with no conditions and no guarantee it will be reciprocated. It just loves because that's what it loves to do. It's love. It loves to love lovingly. Love is the most vulnerable place we can walk because you cannot control nor contain it. God could not control nor contain his love when he gave us the most vulnerable place of his heart, which is Jesus. I sometimes think about that. Can you imagine giving your only child or your only son, just sacrificing him in the way that Jesus was for a bunch of people that may not even care? I just think about that kind of stuff. I can't imagine. I couldn't do that, but God did. And it just gives you an appreciation, you know, a deeper understanding of, and we'll never fully understand, but it just gets you thinking like, wow, God did all this for me. You know, he did all this for you. This is just something to think about, to understand the gravity of what was done for us. Happy people inspire love. Love inspires people. Love is what drives us to pursue our passions. When you function out of a heart filled with love, you are at the peak of who you were created to be. Let's read that again. When you function out of a heart filled with love, you are at the peak of who you were created to be. Sometimes we chase our identity in Christ. What are we supposed to be doing? Who are we supposed to be? Well, right here, if you love in your heart, and it's full of love, you are already at the peak of who you were created to be. God's going to use your personality. That's it. You're already set. You're equipped. You're ready to go. You just need the Holy Spirit and your heart filled with love. Your performance will be at its best, and everyone around you will take notice. For example, have you ever watched a musician play an instrument like the piano or guitar and see them completely lost in the performance? I always liked watching Chris Tomlin's drummer. He gets so lost in his drumming, and the same with Town and Country when they play the Drummer Boy song. When I watch Phil Wickham sing This Is Amazing Grace, I get lost in his singing because he is so caught up in the Spirit, and it draws me into the Spirit. And how true that is. Even just watching a video, the anointing is there. It doesn't leave. It fills the room, and your spirit is drawn and attracted to it. And it's because people like these are filled with love, filled with God's love, that this can happen. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 is called the promise of the Spirit. It will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. We are truly living in the days of the many promises of God being poured out through passionate performers. I believe as God pours out his love in the places we are positioned, we truly will bring happiness to those surrounding us, infecting others to spread and be inspired by the love of God. Who doesn't like hanging around happy people? Think about it. I love being around Astrid, especially when she gets going in praise and worship. There's something about it. Everyone loves being around people who are happy and full of kindness. Happy people are like a magnet pulling us toward their positive electromagnetic field. How many of you know somebody that you can't even get mad at them because they just have that thing, that personality that's, you know, that's love, that's happiness. You know, it melts away whatever's going on and you just can't even stay mad anymore. It's like, come on, why, how do you do that? Love. Happy people inspire love. In a moment, they can lift up your spirit. Have you ever been instantly affected by a complete stranger walking by you as they smile and simply say, hi? It gives us an instant uplift. A smile, a hug, a kind look, or a kind word can make someone's day. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And God wants to use us to do these simple things to positively affect somebody out there in the world. Because how do we know that that's not what's going to get them on the track to getting saved? Maybe that's something that they need. The greatest love will not just be in the greatness of the glory being poured out. I know God wants his love being poured out upon people right now. Sometimes we might think, okay, when the glory drops in all of its fullness, then all these things will automatically happen and take place, which it may. But God wants us to start operating in that now. Glory is already here and in a measure, but God wants us to start doing this stuff now. I believe the smallest acts of kindness can be our greatest and most effective daily marketplace ministry. Walking inside the heart of God. A man said, recently I went into another heart vision and saw people walking inside the heart of God. It was literally a live, breathing, pulsating heart. We were beating as one with him and grafted in the core of his innermost heart chamber. God's heart is full of infinite crevices, and he is longing for us to discover the many facets of him as we walk inside the innermost chambers and begin pouring them out. When you walk inside God's heart, you will begin knowing the depths of him. As you begin walking with the heart of God, you will be walking as one with him. Your heart will be beating at the same beat as his. You will feel what he feels as he shares the intimate details of his heart. For example, what brings joy to him will bring joy to you. What brings sorrow to him will bring sorrow to you. What breaks his heart will also break yours, and what angers him will anger you. Having God's heart will absolutely ruin you. How many times have you experienced people saying, what's the matter with you? Why are you acting like that? And you're like, I don't know, it just came over me. You're probably feeling God's heart about a certain situation. And it's not even something you can explain to other people because they might not understand. But you're feeling God's heart. And go ahead and just feel it. Just be. Just do whatever is happening to you. There's no shame in that. That's good for you. You're close enough to God that you feel his heart and that you can express that, even if others don't understand you. That's a mark of goodness for you. Ruined by love. The definition of ruin is the downfall or undoing of a person as the wreck of his or her former self. When God shares his heart and what moves him, we will absolutely be undone, causing the downfall of our former selves, which seeks its own rights and ways. Love will wreck us. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way because it is not self-seeking. How true. And how many times do we, like we said before, this 50-50 thing, well, I have to have this and then you do that and all that. That's not true, godly, unconditional love. That's not the love we're supposed to be walking in. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8 and verse 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, going down that 1 Corinthians 13 checklist, I have some work to do. I think it's safe to say we all have some tweaking perhaps we can do in that. But this is exactly the type of love that God wants us all to be walking in. It's patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And it never ends. And we can walk in that. Through Christ, we can walk in that. The love of God in us can no longer be contained. God himself is requiring the heart of heaven to respond to the earth. When God's love ruins us, one, it will display extraordinary acts of compassion and giving. Two, we will be moved with the passion and heart of God. Three, we will be ruined by what ruins God's heart and what moves and breaks his heart. Number four, we will be walking inside the heart of God, responding with the heartbeat of heaven, moving as he moves on us. It's basically saying we'll be in sync with what God is doing. We're behaving and acting appropriately as he would himself in that situation that we are in. That's unity with Christ, unity with God, by having his heart in us. The destiny and language of lovers. God is speaking a new language, and it's a language of lovers. It's not just about hearing his voice. It's about knowing him. There's people that prophesy. They hear God's voice, but they don't know him. There's a difference. And it's an important difference. You can hear God's voice, but if you don't know him, you can tell. It's a deficit. Lovers communicate through heart responses when their hearts become intertwined as one. God spoke the language of love through Jesus. And Jesus reciprocated his love by doing only what he saw his Father doing. Jesus didn't do anything himself. He only did and said what he saw the Father doing. As you become one with your lover, you will be communicating through a love language spoken only from the heart. You will be beating at the same heartbeat as your lover and pouring out his heart to others. Only intimate lovers know how to give and receive it. This is going to take time. This is going to take a committed dedication to being intimate with the Father, giving him time. And it doesn't mean you have to lock yourself in a closet for 8 hours a day. It just means putting him at the forefront of your mind while you're going about your daily responsibilities. Jesus reciprocated the greatest love language of the Father when he gave up his life to be with us. The greatest destiny of a man is the destiny of a lover. That's what we are called to do, to be intimate lovers with God, because we need to know him and understand who he is before we can properly and accurately reflect the love that he wants us to give others. Father, we thank you for this timely message. We thank you for Pastor Barbara studying diligently to put this together and to seek your face to give us this word and this message. Lord, we cover every aspect, every seed of this message in the blood of Jesus, that it would take deep roots in our hearts, that we would be able to bear much good fruit for your kingdom. And Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.